thank you that we can glorify you, Lord, and no one comes close to you, Father. No one. Thank you that we can exalt you. Thank you that you're faithful and you're just and you're always there and you love us. Oh Lord, you're just the best. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just give him a time to unpack and get all your stuff ready. What is going on? Okay, it's good having you all here today, and it's sad that we always have to say goodbye to some people, but at least we can say hello to some others. So that's awesome, and it's always God's church, and the day when God told me and Darkian we had to come here and start an English-speaking church, and I thought, well, perhaps we must be on Facebook, and I don't know anything about Facebook, And then God said, yes, it's good, you may be on Facebook. And yeah, and then I said, okay, Lord, what must I put on Facebook? I have no idea how to do this. And then he said, Renee, it's not your church, it's my church. And it's always so awesome to just know this is God's church. We are few in numbers yet, but it's his church. And together with other churches, we can celebrate him. And yeah, it's just so amazing if I hear the testimonies of Carlene, coming just back now from Nigeria, of how they pray and how they do things there. Ah, God is amazing. He's just awesome. Is there anyone that had a word or a picture or during worship that one would like to share? No one. Okay. Okay, let's go. It's not a difficult sermon, if I can say that. I think it's the third time I preach on salvation, and I ask God, are you sure? I think everyone knows what it's about. But yeah, God knows where he wants to lead us and what he wants to do with us. So here we go with salvation. I want to ask you, what goes on in your head? What do you think when you hear this word, salvation? Perhaps it's that you think, ach, again, I know all about it, or can I ever be sure of salvation? What is it really? Is it part of a religion? Is it only our religion, the Christian religion? What is salvation? The next slide is a few questions also. Are you saved? How are you saved? Why are you saved? Or how or why? Are you not saved? And why do you say so? Or you're not sure? And then you can explain. I think when we start answering these questions, then you realize it's actually sometimes a little challenging. Especially, I feel when we do evangelism on the streets in the Uithof or in Utrecht, and you have to explain what is salvation, especially to people that have no clue. They don't know where you're coming from. Some have a little Catholic background, but are not really into it. So I just want you to sit, not to sit, you are sitting, to share with the person next to you, if you can, just link up with two or three persons, and just answer one of these questions. I don't know where you stand, so I don't know which one you would like to answer, but just share with one another quickly.
Okay.
Can anyone share, perhaps, what has been said in between you? Sergio, would you like to share? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Anyone else? I heard you say a lot of stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else on the other side? I will not push the newcomers, but I did already. Anyone in the back row there? Yes, Eunice. Anyone wants to add or say something else? It's not such easy questions or answers. And I found myself struggling with it. And actually, this is our core. No? If we say we are Christians and we believe, we must know this well. It must be part of us. It must be what we live, because this is supposed what we believe. And Romans 10 verse 9, we'll see just now, we don't go there now. The next slide, we're going to stay a while there, is what happened. And to many of us, this is an old story. But I'm just going to repeat it just so that it can sit with us again and be solid in us. The first one is in the beginning. In the beginning, God created everything. And if we read in the Bible, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it says, and God created, and then it starts, it goes on. But that God is actually God's. It's the Trinity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They created everything. And also Adam and Eve, the first person that was created was Adam, and then later his wife Eve. He made man in his own image, and which is very significant, is God made man with a choice. Jesse has sometimes come here, he's a student, and he studies artificial intelligence. It took me a while to realize what that was. I thought they are scanning the moon or whatever. Seemingly it is about robots. But robots are programmed, yeah? So it's artificial intelligence. Actually, it says it well, but that is programmed, so it doesn't really have a choice. Yeah? It's like a computer; it's made to do stuff. Just quickly, 1 or 2 seconds. If someone would love you, would you like him or her to be programmed to love you or not? Not. No one wants a programmed lover? I think it can be without problems. No, we want a person to love us because he chooses to love us, or she. No? We don't want program, and I think this is perhaps a little of God's heart. He wants us to love him and to have a relationship with him by choice, by our choice. We have a choice. And yeah, it's coming now to my mind, so I feel I must share it quickly, that in the Dutch Reformed Church, we have the five Dordtse leerlings. I don't know if anyone knows about them. They have the Heidelbergse Catechismus, what do you call that in English? In any case, the Heidelbergse Catechismus, the five Dordtse leerlings and the geloofsbelijdenis, what you believe. But the five Dordtse leerregels was done here in Dordrecht many years back. And it was about who is saved. Now, this question what we are about to learn more, who is saved? And then they said, everyone is saved who God chose to be saved. And you do not have a choice. It has been chosen for you. And it is so wrong. That's not what God says. God says he wants every one of us to be saved. But we must make the choice. No, we are not robots. We have a choice. And we see that in paradise, how Adam and Eve had a relationship with God in paradise. That was the first place that God put them in Eden. And if you read Genesis, it's actually beautiful how God prepared the whole earth and make it a special place for them to live in. When we are pregnant or so, we prepare the baby's room and we buy a cot or we paint the room or whatever. We prepare for the coming of the baby, but God prepared for us to be in Eden. God prepared the whole place and he said he created all the plants. Did you know that we were vegetarians in those times? Eh? It was a huge shock to me. But he created all the plants that we can eat, all the fruits, and I don't know if we did eat leaves or whatever. He made it beautiful, and he put everything in place, and then he says, okay, this I give you. He didn't put us in the desert or something. Everything was done well. So his heart for us is to be good to us. He loves us. He wants us to enjoy it, what he created. And I think many of us go on holidays and enjoy the creation. But then they had a choice. And unfortunately, God put a beautiful tree in the middle of the garden, and the tree that he named the tree that will give you knowledge of good and evil. And he said, you must not eat of that. I often wondered why he did that. Because if you put me in a room and there's nothing with one bag of marshmallows, and you say to me, don't eat them. At least there were other plants around that they could eat. But in any case, most of us know the story that the enemy came and he spoke to Eve, and she thought, well, that must be a very good tree. So if I eat of that tree, it will improve me. I will be better. And all of us want to be better, most of us. So yeah, that's why she ate the fruit, and then Adam as well. Sin, we call it sin, if you do stuff that you're not supposed to do. Sin has a consequence. And I think all of us know, as children, that your mom and dad teach you, don't do this, you may do that, don't. I always said, don't play with a ball in the house. I had to repeat it often. And sometimes it had consequences if you did that. But this sin had huge consequence. They were kicked out of paradise, the baby room where they were put. They had to work outside the paradise. There was lots of stuff that started then. And women will have babies with lots of pain. And I'm not going to go into that. But yes, it was actually the beginning of lots of trouble. And then in Genesis 8, verse 21 to 22, God said, for the imagination or strong desire of man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. And why I'm saying this is God said that, but often when I speak to people on the streets, they say, no, they are a good person. They are good. They don't do bad stuff. They are good. And I I really think sometimes we are deceived that we think we are just good. It's not that we are not doing good. Yes, of course we are doing good, but there is a side of us that struggle. And then one beautiful promise that God gave in Genesis 8 verse 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So isn't that beautiful? We just take it for granted, the seasons and the summer and the heat and the cold and the seed time and the harvest. But actually it's a promise of God that he said that will remain till he's coming back, till the earth cease to exist. Just still at the sin, Adam and Eve was in the beginning, so they were kicked out and sin. And later in the Bible, God gave us 10 commandments. And often I think we think it's 10 suggestions. It's actually not. It's really to share with us God's heart. And that's why in the middle, actually I wanted to have a heart there. But I'm not so clever in this PowerPoint. So God's heart can be a little seen in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that he shares with us what is good for him and what is not good for him. What he loves and what he doesn't love. And the first 1 to 4 commandments is more about God. Who is God? He's a jealous God. We can only have one God. You cannot have other gods. I'll say something just now. And from the commandments 5 to 10, it's more laws of ethics, of moral duties towards one another, and of performance of which will bring order and peace and happiness of society, in society. And often I think when I speak to people, they think they are good because they also want this order. They also want to be good to one another and so on. And they forget that it comes from God. It was many, 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 many years back said in a commandment, this is what God loves. You know, when God makes you, he knows what's good for you. I previously said this, but if an engineer makes a diesel engine, he knows you put in diesel in that engine, then it will run well. Then a very clever person with lots of pride come and say, man, I'll use this engine and I'll put in petrol. It doesn't matter. Then this engine will not do well. And this is the same with God's commandments. He made us. He knows what works well for us. He knows we will have a better life or a life more in abundance when we follow his commandments. It's not to be a spoilsport. It is that the engine will run smoother. Just to come back to the sin, and it sounds as if it's a really horrible sermon, but it's just to think a little about it. Have you ever stolen something in your life? A pen from work, made copies at the work without getting permission. So actually you stole the paper, the time, and the computer or the printer. Or stole a cookie out of your mom's cupboard. Or some sugar. I used to steal sugar. Quickly. A hoppy psycho. So I think most of us did. So actually we can say, if you have stolen once in your life, even if it was very small and even if no one knows about it, you are a thief. Yeah? It sounds horrible, but I just want to get it in our brains because so many people think we are just good people. That was one of the commands, not to steal. A second one was false witnesses. Have you ever in your life lied? Ever in your life not thoroughly told the truth, just off the truth, just let out a part? I think most of us did. So then we're a liar. Okay, so now it's already 2 of the 10. And the last one I wanted to take an example with. Have you ever given false witness? that I ask. Have you ever envied your neighbor, something of someone else? Have you ever thought, wow, if I could have that car or that carpet, or if I could go on that holiday, or those shoes? No. God says we may not be jealous of anything of our neighbor. Nothing. So there we're down the drain again. So it's only three of the Ten Commandments. So just what I want to get in our heads is we are not without sin. And if we want to be saved, if we want to stand before God, who is a holy God, who is a righteous God, who loves us, we cannot stand there with sin in our lives. It is impossible. I just want to come back to the righteous. If you have a court and there's a judge in court, would you like him to be righteous and just? Or would you like him to scheme through it and as the day goes, see how he feels and be manipulated with coffee or whatever, or with money? No, we want a righteous judge. And God is righteous. And often there's confusion that righteous means not loving. A father and a mother loves their children, but they are righteous, so they teach you. You don't throw the ball through the window if it's closed. You just don't do that. And it's not because they don't love you. It is because they love you. So God is righteous, and God loves us. And the only way that we can be saved, as you already said that, is through Jesus Christ. Jesus was born to a virgin. Jesus was the only person on earth who never sinned. I cannot imagine how it must have been to live with a brother like that in your house. He never lies. He never envies you. He never wants your doll or your little toy or whatever. He never steals something. He has no sin. And that's why Jesus could take our place. If I love you so much, I love you but not so much, had to take your place, if I could die on behalf of you so that you can go to heaven, it will not work because I have my own sin. And the wages of Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin, so the penalty, the curse, the consequence of sin is death. Okay, so that's the end of the story. Then we would all die. But because we have a loving God, he sent Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that could save us. And isn't it awesome for all of us? Because he was without sin. And sometimes it sounds like an awesome story. Or a mooi verhaal. But this is really who God is. He really loves us. He prepared a place for us to live in. We made a flop of it. And then still he came to rescue us. There is no God who ever lived that would have done this for his people. It's only our God, our living God. And because he was without sin, he was resurrected when he died. And he's now on the right hand of God, reigning with him, if I have it right there. So actually, we are, if we look at this, Adam and Eve sinned, we sin, and we are desperately in need of Jesus Christ to save us. Yes, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master, if we give up our own self, our own will, our own desires to follow his will, his desires for us, yes, then we are saved. If we can now look at Romans 10 verse 9, which we spoke already about. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? So Jesus did all of that with his Father, but we have to confess with our mouth, so publicly declare, not hide, not be ashamed of, publicly say that yes, we believe that Jesus is Lord, and then in our heart, we need to. If your heart is convinced of something, you have fruit that flows out of that. If you are convinced of what, of I'll stick to this example that God raised Jesus from the dead and you are saved because you believe that. If your heart is totally believing that, then your way of living have to be according to that. No, you have to have fruit. If you just confess with your mouth and your heart is not linked to it, you are not saved, unfortunately. That is not how you're saved. This is how much God loved us, or loves us. He made a way. He wants us saved, and He wants us saved from eternal death and a life with Him. We know that, I'm not going to say we know, but God didn't ever create hell for us, for people. It was initially created for Satan and the angels that followed him. But unfortunately, if you do not make a choice, we're back to the choice. If you do not make a choice to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow him, you will have a life eternal without God. And you can call it hell or Hades or without God. It's not a pleasant place. I don't know if anyone of you have read some books of people who have been there and all the confirmations that they have seen there and experienced is precisely what the Bible says about it. It's exactly that. It is not a pleasant place to be. If you think we are at Halloween now recently, and I listened to a Satanist who is now reborn and believes in Jesus Christ, what actually happens with Halloween and how horrible that is and all the sacrifices that they make, and that it's truly that they sacrifice a person on that night, and that's why there's so much blood and all the gory stuff. It is not a pleasant place. It is not fun. It is not. And this is not what God has for us. He wants us to live with Him and have a relationship with Him. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. I think it must have been awesome to know, tonight God is coming. We'll have some tea or whatever. It would be so good. Okay. Perhaps in your heart you feel that, yes, I've known the story, or you want to recommit, or you realize something new in your heart, or today is the first time that someone will give you a chance to publicly declare that you choose Jesus and that you believe it in your heart as well. But this is not the whole thing. This is just the background. So I know a pastor of us will say, lock the doors, this was the intro. It's kind of that, but it's not long after. It's still a small piece that I want to share with you, which was really what I felt was in God's heart. God wants all of us to be saved, everyone on earth, everyone on earth. And He doesn't want anyone to fall away. He didn't create anyone to go to hell. It is not what He intended. So if we can look at this next clip, it would be great.
Last time I was out with Andrew Chee.
No. The first one, please. Yes, thanks.
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigals. So count the cost, brothers and sisters. This is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
Thanks, Kayla. I don't want to have you on a guilt trip or something like that. It's just in the middle of that slide was God's heart. God's heart is for everyone. We cannot be saved and sit on our couch and think everything is fine. We cannot. It's not what God have us made for as well. If we read Romans 10 verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How can someone believe if he didn't hear it ever? If there was no one to share? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, we call it the Great Commission. It is where Jesus said to his disciples, go out, go out. You cannot have this for your own. It's not just for your own salvation. You have a job to do. And when I walk in Utrecht and in the Uithof and we talk to students, I really just want to cry about the emptiness in their hearts. They don't even bother about creation, don't bother about evolution. There's nothing. I ask them, how did you become to be here? How was the trees made? I have no clue, and it doesn't bother me, and I don't want to know. And sometimes perhaps someone will find out. And then I ask him, but why are you studying? Oh, it was a good thing to do. What must I do otherwise? I can just cry when I walk back there. Because there's nothing there. It's a coldness. It's not even a looking for a God or something special. He's so content with not knowing. And it's not far. It's here. It's in our. It's our neighbors. It's next to us. It's the people around us. And then, do we have a heart like God? Do we have the heart of God? Is our hearts in line with what God wants us to do? Do you have that passion? Do you have that compassion in you to really reach people, to really not let them go to a life without God, to really share with them what is it, how can you be saved? So that's why I started with what is saved, because if you don't know what it is, then you cannot share it. And then in Romans 10, verse 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And that is true. Not everyone will choose this way. It is and stays a choice. And we cannot force anyone. We cannot manipulate anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts it. And I often ask God, why did I become spirit-filled and have a living relationship with him? And my family is still religious. And I said, Lord, why did you change my heart? Why don't you change their heart? And he says, the same way as I prompted you, I prompted them, but they have pride and they are rebellious. They don't want to. So now I pray against pride and rebellion, that God can reach them, that they will give their heart. But do you really long? Do you stand in faith for anyone at all to get to be saved? When I speak to those students on campus and they say, oh yeah, they don't know why anything is created or is there or how it happened or is there a purpose and anything, then I think, yeah, if you live in Utrecht and you see the seasons or you live with gravity, if you say you don't believe in seasons, There's fruit of seasons. You can see the seasons is happening. The truth is, it's still there. The truth is, if I say I don't believe in gravity, I cannot change it. It is the truth. There is gravity on Earth. And I cannot say tomorrow, well, I've had it with gravity. I'm over with this now. I am not part of gravity and I don't believe in it. It will not change. And the same is with this word, with this Bible. It will never change. This is the truth. There is no other truth. If you believe in it or not, the fruit thereof can be seen everywhere. Romans says it. You can see it in the nature. You can see it in creation. You can see it everywhere. If you think of it differently and you think it's something else, it doesn't make the truth change. Your thinking is perhaps not right, but the truth is, this is the truth. The Bible is the truth. Creation, if you can go, your turn, no, it's Adam and Eve, sin, Jesus, life reconciled with God, that is the truth. That is the truth that will stand always. And often people say to me, well, if I die, then I will see. And if I say, and say for instance, you will see that this was the truth that I would like to share with you. And you say, well, then it's like that. Then it's tough for me. You have only now that you can choose, no? And do we have that burden in our hearts to share with other people, to really share with them what is it to be saved? What fruit do you have because you're saved? How is your compassion? And it's not to indoctrinate or overrun people or whatever, but if you are convinced and sure of something, at least you must overflow of that. And then the last verse, Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So the more you hear the word, the more you grow, the bigger your faith grows. You put your faith out there. Last year was the year that I had to trust God for the most in my life ever. It was not a easy place. It was a huge challenge. And but you know, God can show you I'm faithful. Only if you have to stand in faith. If you organize everything yourself and you don't have to stand in faith, then how can he show you that he's faithful and he loves you? This last video, it's a clip, it's small, but it's two persons who evangelize in Australia. I think it's Australia. And I just want to let us show and grasp how they are overflowing of their hearts' belief. Thanks,
guys. I was out with Andrew Chi, and this is what happened.
We met some Islander family. He started to feel a loosening in his knee.
I want you to try it now.
Holy
shit, I was so shocked when he got healed, he couldn't believe it.
I'm a complete atheist. So.
That's okay, I mean, God will heal atheists. I've seen it happen before.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, that's cool because all that needs to take place is I pray for you for 10 seconds.
This is a show about normal Christians living the normal Christian life.
Okay.
What do you need, bro? Okay. What do you got?
Okay, I have got no pain.
Okay.
I've got no pain. I don't know,
nothing
I can't
at
think
all.
Of anything.
He didn't need any healing, but really wanted to express his beliefs, expecting a debate.
There's nothing happening at all?
No. In fact, can I just say, you're trying out here to convert people, but if I could have a go at you, I reckon if you realise that there's much more beauty in the fact that there is no God and that we are so tiny in this universe, I think there's a lot more beauty in reality than religion ever could offer.
Sure, man. What's your name?
Stu.
Stu. Most people are expecting Christians to do one of two things, to try and convert people or want to get caught up in a defensive debate. What happens when we don't do either?
May I speak honestly?
Yeah, man, go for it.
I don't mean it personally against you. I just think
we're not against you.
Everyone who believes in religion, I think it's delusional for you to think so that you can walk up to someone and heal them in any way. Yeah.
That's the cool thing, because I can't do it, bro. That's why I know God does.
Do you think God can?
I know he can.
Which God do you believe in?
Dude, can I just tell you something, bro? Yeah. My friend, me and Andrew, we've seen hundreds of people just healed of all kinds of things. So I began just to share testimonies with him, because testimony means God, do it again. And I knew it was only a matter of time before there would be someone else we could pray for. 4 months later, they come back, dude, it's been good ever since.
Do you actually believe it's because there is a God?
Because, yeah, absolutely.
Because you believe there is.
Absolutely, man. So, and he loves you. He loves you so much, bro.
That there is anything else.
That's cool, man. We don't have to agree.
Can I just ask?
Can I give you a hug, though?
Yeah, man.
Dude, I love you, man. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves those who don't even believe in him. Shouldn't they see that in us? Even if you just follow us around now, you'll see people get healed. You see God do stuff. Yeah, man. Because I believe in God that much, man.
If you convince me like that,
man.
I'm willing to. I want to be convinced. I think there's so many cool things about religion.
I love you, bro. You got such a good heart, man.
You are good people, because I know you are only doing this because you feel this will help people.
Dude, that's it, man. We love people, bro. We love you, man. Stick around, bro. If we're going to pray for this girl in the crutches. Do you want to stick for 2 minutes? We're going to pray for this girl in the crutches. So, Jesus, I just thank you for full healing right now in that leg.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Now, I want you just to start to do something that you wouldn't be able to.
And yeah, just that feels much better. It feels great.
No pain whatsoever.
No.
The scriptures say, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And sometimes we can do so much talking about, but the world's waiting for us to walk it out. He's such a wonderful man. We just love him so much.
You guys are rad.
I love you, bro. You're awesome. So he had to rush off soon after that. But he wants to come out with us again and see if this thing is for real. Jesus said, even if you don't believe me, believe in the works. He also said that we are going to walk in greater works than him, which is an incredible statement, but the world is waiting for us to walk this thing out. Come on, guys, this is the normal Christian life. Let's do this thing.
We can hand out the communion now, please. While they hand it out, just keep it. I just really feel that this is what God wants to bring over to us. Do we have a heart according to God's will? Do we really have a heart, what he wants us to be and to do and to, enjoy? And if we can go back to slide 3, that little circle thing. Thank you. Thanks. It is in the beginning, then there was sin, then Jesus Christ came, and through him we can be saved. But then tell the world. We need to tell everyone. We need to share. It's their choice if they want to take it or not. So we're not going to force anything, but we need to share. And we need to really have a compassion for people who don't know Jesus yet. Luckily, everyone is quickly. Thanks, Eunice.